Welcome to the Dog Show Drive. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
On purpose. Yes, you are, young man.
On purpose.
Yeah. Well, we have a good show for you this week, we hope. We're going to talk to you about Louisville, how much fun that was and what a great show it was. Conspiracy theories in dog shows, why people think someone else won. It's almost hysterical. And more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Well, hey there, young William. I hear you are back from the many travels of the William Alexander caravan to Kentucky.
Yeah. It was Louisville, I'll tell you. It's for some reason, it seems so much easier getting there than it does getting home. You know, yeah. I drove straight back. I was exhausted, Wayne. I guess apparently I missed a big traffic incident on 75 or 71. So that worked out well for me, apparently. But I didn't get in until 2:30. And I'm too old to get in at 2:30.
You know, and you don't need to be that old to be too old to get in at 2:30, right? I mean, we used to go out to the bars at 10 o'clock. Now, if I'm awake after 10 o'clock, I'm like, oh, give me, I need some chamomile tea or some meditation tapes or something.
Well, I did this experiment last night because my dogs won't let me sleep in. And no matter what, Bouvier is in my face at 5:30 to 6. Yeah. Every morning, no matter what time. So I thought, I'm going to stay up late tomorrow, last night, and I'm going to put them out late, and then I'm going to sleep in. Well, late, like I said, I was starting to fade at 9:30, so 10 o'clock became late.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Yeah. And he probably woke up at 5:30 anyway.
Yeah.
When Killian puts that head in the bed and hits you with it, man, you wake up. You wake up real quick. And he just rubs his head into you, but his head weighs about, what, 160 pounds, I think it is. And it's made like an anvil.
Well, Clark has this thing. He likes to go have a drink first.
Ah.
And then go wake up dad with a soapy beard, dragging his beard across your face. This will get him.
Extra special. Can you imagine what dogs talk about when we're not around? Hey, man, you won't believe this shit, but if you go get a drink and wet your mouth and smack him in the face, he'll jump up and he'll feed you. He'll take you out. He'll hug. They are so easy to train. It's unbelievable.
Like, I always think that they don't know my name, so I'm just the guy with the glasses. Oh, here goes the guy with the glasses. hope he puts us out now.
There was some post I saw on Facebook. I forget who it was. Might have been Janice Hayes, but confessing that they talk to their dogs in the dog's voice, and each dog has a unique voice.
I don't
know of anybody that doesn't do that.
Exactly.
We all do.
Exactly.
And we have all of our beautiful special beagle of our daughters that we dog sit, and we just adore her. But she has this face, one expression, and she's easy to make up voices for. Now I have Hazel, who's in charge of the world. These are all in the house, and the wolfhound, who is just, you know, hi, Dad. Look, it's another day. Oh my God, you're back in the room. This is great. He just can't stand himself, but yeah, he's such a good boy. I took him to. This is the way the world works. We have an unbelievable kennel here called Camp Critter Country in Grand Junction, Michigan. It's a long drive for me. It's 45 minutes each way, but it's well worth it. But they have a new thing that they won't groom and bathe and do nails unless you stay two nights. But they're so good at grooming and bathing and nails that the no vacancy sign has been out ever since. But they always send pictures. If we have to board him, they always send pictures. And he's standing out in the field with this random group of, you know, anything from a puggle to a pit bull and a couple of Great Danes and a beagle and a golden. And they're all just standing there. Hi. They're all so happy. All his buddies, all his friends. And no, there's never any fights or germs. The place is amazing. They have the Kansas, I think I've told you this, the Kansas City Chiefs AstroTurf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he got it from the Chiefs when they change turf every couple of years. Mm-hmm. Over and it's real heavy. The labor is intensive, but these two work so hard. And it's great. The dogs are always clean. They love playing. They go out on nature walks too, of course, because you know.
Now, is that the indoor part of it? They're on the turf?
Yeah, the indoor paddocks. They're big paddocks on the turf. And they're beautiful. And it's pretty cool. You'll see them. They send hundreds of pictures a day, just random crazy shots. And, you know, Killian standing there on the 50-yard line with the Kansas City Chiefs logo and whatever. That'd be cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, how was Louisville, Will?
Louisville was great. You know, Louisville was probably one of my very favorite set of shows. They put a great show on. They look at, and whenever you speak, talk to the judges of the Louisville, they always say how well they're looked after and how much they enjoy it. Like my buddies, my two really good friends were there, Mike and Sandy Jelena, and they weren't judging me. In fact, when I talked to them, I talked to them quite a bit. I said, Mike said, "I'm going to see you in Louisville." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to Louisville." I said, "Are you?" He said, "I'm judging." I should probably look at a preview list once in a while. I said, "Are you judging anything I'm showing?" He said, "No." I said, "Okay, good." So we kept on talking. But he went on and told me how wonderful they treated him, they had a great time. And I just love going. It was about 26 to 3,000 dog show.
Yeah.
And you could just walk from ring to ring and just sit down and watch. Highly competitive. Like I loved watching smooths, like because all the top smooths were there, and it was just fun to watch. And then you got the Griff National and the Palm National. So they're all there. It's just fun. Each breed team seems to have some depth that you can sit and watch. I really enjoyed it.
We talked about putting this on YouTube, the podcast. But we make faces at each other. That's part of the fun that we have here that no one else can see. So I'm not sure we can ever.
Exactly. I have to go back to Louisville. I'm sure one of my favorite Louisville's was I had pee there. I think I don't know if I ever told you this story. I had pee there, and she won the group in our Luke Baloo. And it was a great group, and I had to rush off right into the next group. So Peter Kubas was there. I said, "Pete, can you hold on to pee while I go and." So I come out and I'm like, "Where's everybody?" "Oh, Peter got the picture."
Did he really?
Peter got the group picture with Pete and Luke. Apparently, it's hanging in his kennel now.
Oh, that's great. That is classic. Smart move. But those shows have always been super competitive. And, they used to be 5,000 dog shows.
Yeah. That one year they got up to 5,000.
Dan Jones was the man back then. And he's one of the nicest, funniest guys you ever want to meet. He's still around. Once in a while, have an electronic exchange of some sort with him. He's got his Basset Hounds, but he ran around that place like crazy. I told you about the time that I told him Clinton was coming to the
show.
Poor guy. I was working for AKC, and I called him ahead of time. I said, "Listen, I can't even if you tell anybody, you're going to hear from the." Whatever. I almost said Social Security.
Secret Service.
Secret Service. And they're going to be all over the place. You won't be able to see the sharpshooters on the roof. It's going to be invisible, so no one will know. Very down low. And Bill just wants to come in and look around and see the dogs because he happened to be an officer at the time. And I'm telling you, this poor guy was so nervous. And when finally the gig was up, I thought he was going to kill me. But we still laugh about it to this day. Whenever I talk to him, he'll say, "Is Bill going to be there?" But, those shows have always been, it's just, there's something about them.
There's almost like the beginning of spring.
In that theater across the parking lot there, that arena, there's often a concert or something to go to. And Jim Edwards, of course, my late great buddy, he loved country music. And there was a Trisha Yearwood, Travis Tritt concert in the arena. And he managed to get tickets. And And we walked over to the concert, and then we walked back to that. It used to be the hotel right across the street was nice enough to stay in. And it was a nice bar and restaurant there. So Jim and I went to the concert. We came back to the hotel. We stopped in the bar for a drink, and Travis Tritt walked in with two of his band members to have a drink too. And they sat down and played the piano and sang. We had our own little private concert. There's about five of us in the bar. And Travis Tritt and his band played just for us. It was unbelievable. Those little moments you'll never forget. You know, yeah. So cool. But there's always fun stores down there. And, you know, it's a great site. Great. Is it venue now? Since we're all English now. Great venue. By the way, I love this. I think it's hysterical. I just said venue, right? Because that's what we call them now.
Yeah.
But for the first 50 years, it was a site. It was a show site. Yeah. And then we became very British because, you know, the sport is very British. So now, did you realize that instead of saying the number one Schitzel Fuddle all breeds or among all breeds, we say whilst and amongst. We've added those words. You see those in the ads.
Oh, really? I have to look. I better start reading ads and premium lists.
And watching the podcast, listening to the podcast. Might want to try that one.
Tell you, that Louisville, we had a tornado warning the one night.
Yeah. We had
sirens and floodlights and everything was stopped. And I got on Facebook because that's what you do now.
Yeah, of course.
What's going on? Don't believe the TV. But Kim Meredith, she posted that she was in a stairwell with 500 obnoxious teenagers.
I saw that. Yeah. Man, Kim is just so much one of the best, isn't she?
Oh, she is.
God, I just love her. Good dog judge, good student, and a lot of fun to be around. What a pistol. We go back quite a ways. Someday I'll tell you about the day I first met her. I just don't want to embarrass either of us, but they were fine laughs for many years after it. Anyway, she is special, and I'm glad she's among out there almost every weekend doing her thing. So you bought your Irish Setter and your Beagle.
Yep, took them.
And how do you like just showing two dogs like that? It's got to be a relief. It's got to be fun.
It's great, but I think there's a conspiracy out there, Wayne. they see me coming, and they put them on the same time.
Yeah.
I was set up with Tim Torella, which I had a great time together.
Yeah.
And he would watch the dog on the table while I took off. And my buddy Colin and Ashley were there too. So we had a good little family. And I got to do a shout out to Megan Onassis Torella. She's apparently one of our biggest fans. Really? I call her Megan Onassis because I didn't know this. I always told her that, oh, you dressed kind of fancy like Jack Yo. Well, Tim told me later on that she was a big fan of Jack Yo.
Huh.
So now I call her Megan Onassis Torella. nicest girl. So beautiful.
Well, hello, Megan. I hope you're out there listening.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
Well,
The conspiracy of Irish Setters, Beagles, same time.
I had an English Setter and a Pointer Special for a year together, and I think I showed both of them once.
I made them every day, but it was always touch and go. It was always, I had to get the Irish Setter ready, have someone watch the Irish Setter, go show the Beagle, come running back at the Irish Setter.
Yeah. Then they both always, they usually won the breed, the two of them. And then I figured out what I was going to do. Just two dogs and you have to have a conflict.
I know.
You get 50, you don't necessarily have any, but when you have two.
But then there were days where I'll be like, Beagle 8 o'clock, Irish Setter 3 o'clock. I'm like,
now what do I do? Have a really long lunch.
I took them back to the room and we watched a hockey game and we ordered something and they slept all afternoon.
Hey, your kid finally lost the game, huh?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And it wasn't his fault.
No, but.
But they just didn't want to play that day. But boy, is he something to watch. How much fun is
now
that?
Now we have Mark Giordano.
Yeah, that was a great trade.
Yeah.
A great trade. And Peter Mrazek, bless your heart, but see ya.
Yeah, we put him out. That day on the trade deal day, we put two goaltenders. We brought in Harri Sitari from Finland.
Yeah.
He'd won the gold medal. We put them both on waivers because they have to clear waivers before you can take them. And so we put both Peter and Harry on. Well, Arizona scooped up Harry.
Too bad. Too bad. Yeah, boy, I tell you that. I think Giordano's going to be a great part of the team. And the man, Marc Andre, going to Minnesota.
Yeah, to Minnesota.
That's going to be fun. Oh, by the way. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's trade deadline, so we have is very important to us. This is hockey we're talking about. There are no dogs named Mark Giordano as yet, I'm aware, but I might name one Marc-Andre Fleury someday.
Oh, what a great guy, though. They interviewed him afterwards. Oh. He's just so happy all the time.
He can't not smile. He just is happy all the time. You know, I really do believe a positive outlook on life like that is what makes him a great goaltender.
Oh, for sure.
He sees the positive. He brings that. Quick
get out. Mr. Carlson, if you're listening, I'd really like to watch Marc-Andre Fleury play a game.
Yeah.
Sorry, back to him. He does have a positive outlook. He always has. Even when I remember watching him in juniors, at the World Juniors, and he lost the tournament for us at the very end because he did something. Yep. But even then he said, I'll get it back.
The confidence that he exudes and the positivity and the happiness and the fun that he brings to the locker room is what price can you put on that? You can't, looking at the world as positively as he does and always having that brilliant smile, fans love him. Everybody loves him. And they'll forgive him
when he does have a bad game because he's just that guy.
He's the man. But, and it translates to the sport, and this isn't a difficult segue for me because, you know, we talk often about this, but man, if every dog sucks, if every dog stinks, if every dog stinks that's not yours, if everything's a piece of garbage that's not yours, if all the judges are crooked or stupid, find another sport. You know, why would you want to do it? Why would you want to go through your every day, your vocation or your avocation, you know, well, now it's 7 days a week, and be so miserable? You know, you got to look for there are wonderful people in this sport. And yes, there are wonderful dogs in this sport, and they're not just yours.
Yeah. Well, and it kills me when a handler loses with Fifi and they'll go off on the judge and call them stupid one. And this judge is a medical doctor.
Right.
And we're dog handlers. Yes. And we're calling him stupid.
Yeah,
right. Because he doesn't know a good cougar hound, you know, right. In your opinion.
That actually is a breed, Will, cougar
hound. I know. I watched them this weekend. I'm like, oh.
Trouble now. Sorry. Send your emails to Will Alexander. But, you know, it's interesting when you see someone get angry at the exhibitor that beat them.
Yeah.
What possible sense does that make?
I know.
If I beat you.
Oh, I'd hate you.
I know.
That goddamn way, Gavin. He's up there.
Guess what, though? I didn't point.
That's right.
How can you be mad at a fellow exhibitor for beating you when they had nothing to do with it, except they brought a good dog, evidently? I don't understand. I just don't understand. It's jealousy, obviously, or some animosity that doesn't need to be there. Or you could, and you're going to be mad all day about that. Your blood pressure, you're walking around yelling at everybody. Or you could say, hey, congratulations, like Fleury would do. I'll beat you tomorrow. You know,
exactly.
And you keep yourself centered. Life is happier and all is well. I know in the heat of the moment, it's hard, but I've talked about this. It's called a negativity bias in psychology. And it's, you know, we have to have
random about that stuff.
We have to have a negative bias because otherwise we get eaten by the pumas. Is it pumas? Let's go with tigers. You get eaten by the tigers. Because, you know, you evolutionarily, you have to look around and see what's going to hurt you. So our bias is towards negativity. So you've got to work at being positive. And you just have to start to look around and see all the good in our sport. You just look at Ukraine right now. The dog people from all over the world have been chipping in, helping out, putting dogs up, bringing families over. Any crisis, no matter where it is, when there's a flood or a fire in California, all the kennels get together. They bring their horse trailers. They help you get your dogs out. I mean, this is what you've got to look at and the camaraderie you have. If something happens to you at a dog show, you're going to be fine.
Oh, exactly.
Because someone's going to help you.
Even the ones that get upset and complain about being beaten by whatever, they are usually the first ones in line to help you. Yeah. It's just that moment.
Yeah.
I have a very good friend up here that shows dogs, and he is ultra competitive, and he loses his mind. He's retired now. But first one to help you. First one to ever help you.
Exactly.
And away from that ringside, the best person you ever want to go and sit and talk to.
Yeah.
It's just they get so focused and, you know, they just don't see straight at that level.
If Belter broke down the side of the highway, I'd probably pass him up, but I'd probably help everybody else out there.
Don't worry, Duke. I'll be right because I drive a bit slower than Kavanaugh. I'll find you.
Yeah, I tell you what, Doug would not only stop and help you, he'd know how to fix it.
Oh, exactly. Oh, he'd tow your car somewhere for you.
Sometimes he drives me crazy like all friends do. And then Cheryl will say, guess what? If something happened to you in the night, he's 45 minutes away. He'd be here in 42 minutes.
In a heartbeat. He'd be here. I know. If I needed him tomorrow or this afternoon here, he'd do his darndest to be here for me. So
now, if you'd only get a decent dog. We should play
about beagles and stuff, but we'd be.
If you'd only get a decent dog, it'd be all right. But meanwhile, he's good at carpentry and mechanics. We love you, Dougie. We really do. Anyway.
He's almost like our side. He's almost on this show.
He is. He's like Ed McMahon.
Maybe we should add him to the title. He's almost always on this show.
Who is that guy? Bernie Melvin or Bug is on Letterman show?
I don't know.
He was a funny guy. He used to just sit there and laugh. He didn't do anything but sit there and laugh. But I have to figure it out.
I should get a video or an audio tape of Doug's laugh. Have you ever heard Doug? Well, you always get the Kennelcough laugh. I always like, oh, here goes that Kennelcough laugh. I should get the copy of that so we can always throw that in once in a while.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea. I like it. So the competition was great then. There were a lot of top dogs down there going head to head, which makes it always fun. The groups were so strong. And, that's what makes it special. It doesn't, there's just something enormously different about the vibe and the importance, quite frankly, of a 3,000 dog show compared to a 400 dog show. I'm not casting dispersions on the smaller ones. I'm just saying the vibe is so different.
Kim came out of the working group, and she's told me that she let dogs leave the ring that didn't make the cut that she'd given groups to.
Yeah.
She said it was that strong.
Yep.
And you'll walk back and go, oh, I lost, and you're down yourself. Then you look around, you see some of these great dogs that lost too.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't lose to Burns either.
Another thing that bugs me. I'm sorry, I'm backtracking a bit. When someone says, "Will dump me," also dump me. I hate that. I always correct them. They didn't dump you. They chose a different dog. You lost that day.
Exactly.
Wayne didn't dump you. Will didn't dump you.
Absolutely. I can never win under them.
I chose somebody else. Then I dumped you.
Right. I never went under him. Maybe he doesn't like your dogs. I don't know. Could be that. Yeah. Could be that. If you consistently breed a dog that I don't, the kind of dog that I don't like and keep bringing it to me, you're going to get beat every time unless no one else shows up. By the way, I was thinking about this last week. You know how when an ad comes out now these are usually the Facebook ads, the free ones, and they say the esteemed world renowned greatest of all time, Funkel Schnitzelhound judge, of all time, historical great legendary judge. Did you ever think
in the lore of the
Did you ever think that judge is reading that going, actually, I didn't like any of them. Yours was just less worse than the other ones.
And I'm upset you got a picture. No, I'm just kidding. Don't get a picture today.
You were just the least horrible one. I know I've told this before, but a long time ago, the late, great, wonderful Gretchen Schultz had an English Center, California. I was doing a specialty out there, and I didn't love it, but it was definitely the best one there, no doubt. And but it wasn't my cup of tea. And I went up to her and said, you're going to win this, but you got to promise me no picture. No picture. And I wasn't kidding. And I was talking to Mark Benish yesterday, and he said that Annie did that to him. He had a wire fox terrier, three shows, 3 5-point majors. It finished him, and it was her, did the third day. And he said, I got to get a picture because he just finished. She goes, nope. Not with that one. Nope.
You remember Mrs. Whitmore, Eve Whitmore?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Very great boxer person, you know, boxer enthusiast. And she judged ABC. She was just one of those people. And she passed away a few years back. But anyway, I was showing a boxer tour up north, a little dog show, owned locally by another woman that she's passed as well. And the woman only ever showed her those local shows, and I showed her dog for her. And in fact, anyway, I'll carry on. I'm getting the picture. She gives me group fourth. And you could tell she gave, you know, it wasn't a strong group, but she loved the woman that had the dog. And she gave fourth. And then he said, but you got to promise me, William, because we got to get a picture. I don't want to see this picture anywhere. I'll do my very best, Mrs. Whitmore, I promise. Boxer Quarterly. Under esteemed boxer enthusiast. Oh, she was angry with me.
You never know what we're really thinking. Sometimes we're thinking, I just had 118 of these and I liked none.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes we have 16 and we like all of them. Yeah, it's so yeah, that goes back to that judging on the day. By the way, I got more email on my Chronicle article, my Canon Chronicle article from last week about the whoop-de-doos and the circle patterns than I ever got on anything. And I put hours of research into a lot of these. Wrote that. I got so much email comments on it. I mean, it just hit the spot because I think people were just tired of it.
Oh, yeah. I had a that saying swoop tip darn fart to me all the time now.
It's true. You know, I had a good friend in Bonnie Threlfall. She's told me that she loves to do it when they come back and do the turn sideways thing. She doesn't, you know, I remember you said it once. You can just walk around. She stands there and goes, I'd actually kind of like to see its head. And then she watches them try to do the maneuver to get it back.
We're usually just starting the choreography and they come back.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to start. There's no doubt. I'm stealing that one from Bonnie because that's just too good not to steal.
I got to see this too. And Charlie and Liz were there on the weekend, who I love. I hope you're listening, Liz. If you're listening, I'm sorry. I was lured into that. It wasn't my fault. She'll understand.
Well, as long as it didn't say something bad about Ohio State, Charlie would be fine. So
yeah. You're good there. Well, I have so much fun with those two. I love those two.
I've known them forever. God, I remember when Liz worked for Marianne or worked with Marianne or something. They looked like they had the same mind at one point. They could finish
other sentences. I just had so much fun with both of them. Man. I really do.
Good people. Well, you know, again, on this thing about getting mad at people that beat you, come on, think about it. You know, but again, typically the people that do that have a conspiracy theory.
Oh, for sure they do. I love them. I love hearing the conspiracy theories.
They're the best.
Oh, they are. Oh, you need to watch TV. Just come to the dog show.
Man, they're brilliant. There was a handler years ago who was the king.
Jeff Gay Jr. is still alive, you know.
Pardon me?
Nothing. Oh.
Jeff Gay Jr., yeah, I know.
We'll leave that one alone.
He's judging best at the Garden next year. A lot of people don't know that. But, yeah. We weren't supposed to let it out of the bag right now, I guess. But anyway, there was a conspiracy theory guy from many years ago that he's no longer with us. He's on the planet, but he's no longer out in public. But there wasn't a show that if he went second in the group, it was just the end of the world. And there was a conspiracy, and they were amazing stories. Oh. I mean, they go 15 generations.
Oh, and he connects them back.
Oh man.
Very creative.
And so one day when he won a group, I said, okay, sir, ma'am, could have been either. What was the conspiracy on that? Because you just won it, and evidently there's always a conspiracy. So how did you win that one? Who did you know that knew somebody who fixed that for you? How did that work exactly? And he or she wasn't very happy with me on that day. But it's true. I mean, if it's always fixed, except that when you win, well, it's fixed when you win too, right? So just go in there and be Marc-Andre Fleury. What would Marc-Andre Fleury do?
That should be a song.
It should be. He would smile.
That's right.
He would leave the ring, and he would come back and try to beat you tomorrow with a better game.
That's right.
And by the way, if you lose like every weekend to the same dog, could be that the other dog's better.
I know. I had this one year where I kept losing this certain dog, and I wasn't a big fan of it. But finally, I convinced myself to go sit and watch and figure out why I was consistently losing. And then I even asked a couple of judges. I didn't say, why did you beat me? I just wanted to know. I said, I'm a little confused. I want to know what you're seeing. And then it was very educational. It really was. Because I wasn't seeing straight because I was a cocky young handler.
And now you're kind of your own handler, but you still can't see. But really, when you're showing your own dog, I love this, you know. Oh, you look, the other dogs look terrible, and judge made a mistake. And I said, well, I know that there's not a big mirror out there, so you didn't see what you look like either, pal. Have someone videotape you, or have someone show your dog, or videotape she's better because you can see it with you, and see what we're thinking. See what we see in that minute. In fact, I think it would be fun to do that, but only try to look at the judge's eye contact, where their eyes are going. Look at that dog then.
Because it's all timing. That's what I teach in my class. Outline and timing. Your timing and your dog's outline, because sometimes it's not there.
It's often not there. And if you're just, you know, we keep talking about the 1.5 minutes, if you're lucky to look at the dog, they might give you 2.5 to judge them, but your eye contact, because you're doing other stuff,
it's
pretty slim. You know, it's pretty important to have that outline looking like it should look like. And if we can't see it, we can't see it. You know, it's not there. It's not there.
I agree. I try to tell the people in my class that all the time.
You
know? Yeah. It doesn't matter how good your dog looks when I'm not looking. You know, the guy, I see the guy outside the ring watching you set your dog up, can't give you a ribbon. I said, I'm not giving you the ribbon. I turn around and you're putting together a puzzle, and too late.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing with that is, of course, is that the people outside the ring, they have so much time to look at all the dogs, and they can zoom in on a good one for 20 minutes. We've been through that before. But, yeah, it's – I love when people complain about judging, and I just sit there and go, you need to apply, because I can't wait to see you in there. I can't wait to see you in there and see what, there's so much more to it besides conspiracy theories.
That's a big part of it, though, you know.
He never puts up Will because he's definitely a Montreal fan. And there's no
That's
way.
Right.
Well, that actually could be true in Canada.
Well, Skip was a big Montreal fan, and we used to talk about it. I don't know if we have a judge up here named Don Fitzsimmons, a great gentleman. He's retired now. He was a big Ottawa Senators fan. And I used to say things like, I remember showing a dog to him, and the dog, it was a new dog, and it wouldn't go all the way down. I didn't want to go in the corner because it would.
Yeah.
I came back. I said, "What's his name's Alfredson. He never wants to go in the corner." And Alfredson was a big player for the Ottawa Senators back then. We'd get so mad. Come on, Alfredson. I can't get him to go in those corners. God, I'm sorry.
You know, you can have fun at dog shows. In fact, they are fun. It's a sport. And I know a lot of people make a living at the sport, but it's a sport. And if we can't keep it fun and if we can't decide that, but if the same dogs won all the time, who would bother going?
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we have genetic diversity in our dogs the same way we do in our judges and the same way we do in the interpretation of standards. Three people can read a standard and get completely different. Look at the Constitution, for Christ, I'm criminy sakes. You know, you can't look at these things and think everyone's going to get them the same. My moderate's not your moderate.
Oh, exactly. And let's face it, the parity now, there's such good dogs out there.
Yeah, there are.
There really is. Yeah. You know, like look what Kim said this weekend. She let dogs go that she'd given groups to. Yeah. So it's.
But if you've shot over bird dogs and you've raised your own quail, poor Cheryl used to have to go. We used to raise our own quail and we'd drop them in this field in the morning and run the dogs. And then we'd go to work and then we'd come back at lunch. We'd have a recall pen out there and we'd usually get all the quail back, almost always, and take them home. So when I look at a field, when I look at a sporting dog, don't you think I'm going to at one point go, man, that's beautiful.
But
how far are we getting away from a dog you can shoot over?
Yeah.
So it depends on where you come from. You know, if you're a modern dancer or someone who's, boy, I'd like to see what architects do, how that works in their mind. But if you're someone from a really creative art, which actually I'd like to think I'm a little bit part of too, or a designer, you know, a clothes designer, a fashion designer. Do you look more, is that where you come from when you're looking at it? Do you want to see more beauty and other people want to see more function or structure? Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. We need different judges to look at different things, or the same dogs will win and you breed them all. The same dogs will have nothing but one dog. And that's just not what we need.
That's really interesting. You brought that up. Of course, you, Max Magdry.
Yeah,
he was a furniture designer in real life.
Yeah,
and so he had an eye for aesthetics. No wonder he bred such shapely whippets and greyhounds. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was just a natural eye to him. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, it really is. It's got to be where you come from. Veterinarians, they judge from the inside out. Or they judge from the outside in. Jim Edwards and I.
Didn't get Bill.
Yeah. Jim Edwards used to have this discussion with, he and I used to have this discussion, you know, as a geneticist and a biologist, he'd say, I judge him from the inside out. You judge him from the outside in. And you have to think about that one for a while, but it's how you build your structure around those thoughts. That's what, that makes the picture that you're looking for. So yeah, if you think you're the only dog that can win, I don't know. We have judges with all different backgrounds. And if we didn't, it would be horrible. You need different opinions. You need breed judges. I mean, you need breeder judges and you need all-arounders. If you had, now, right now, I think the tilt's too high against breeder judges because the way we run shows, we can't afford them anymore. You have to have, you know, a judge that can do 95 groups and 16 puppy groups and the miscellaneous and the foundation stock and the tent building or whatever. So, you know, there's not enough room left for those breeder judges. And there's not anything wrong with that. It's just that when you have more all-arounders on the panel consistently, you're probably going to get a tilt a little bit towards the more overall dog, but not necessarily the nuances of breed type. And I think nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
I'm just saying that without the mix of breeder judges to pull you back to a dog that excels in breed type, it throws the mix off.
Well, I used to have a lot of different breeders call me to come and look at certain dogs because they were afraid they were getting a little over the top type-wise.
Yes.
Like, are we seeing, she would say to me, I see how beautiful my dog is, but Will, what do you think? Will they do okay in the all breed? Do I need to settle something down a little bit?
Yeah.
There's many cases where you look at certain head breeds where they've forgotten about the back end of the dog because all rounders are not going to buy that. They're not going to buy. You might, a breeder might go, oh my God, look at that under jaw. Look at that. Look at that. Yep. The work under the eye. But all rounders are like, walk away.
You know? Exactly. But if you don't have both, you'll never get that good head on the all around dog. You'll never get that all around construction on that pretty head. And I think that's the basis of the discussion. You know, you just have to have that diversity. And I think and that's one of the things with clusters and all these shows that we're lacking. You know, dog shows, and I don't think you have to be too old to know this. Dog shows were Saturday and Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. That was it.
Yeah.
And once the Israeli-Arab war and the U.S. siding with Israel and supplying arms in 73, we had the oil crisis, the short lines, the prices doubled, and it was, a war that caused this giant shortage of oil and gasoline. Well, the AKC responded to the club's complaints and desires, and they were wanting to put their shows all in one place. And we've talked about this a million times, but it changed dog shows forever because clusters mean you lose breed club identity. You don't even know what club day it is, right? You go to a 5-day show and you're not sure what club you even won. It's just a show in the middle of five. But it also brings us to, you need to go to 300 shows a year if you're going to be a contender for top dog. I had a handler tell me last week, I can almost guarantee when I get a special from somebody that I'm going to be in the top five because I go to 250 shows a year. That's all it takes. If it's a good enough dog. So it's changed all of that. And with the cluster, you need the all breed all arounders because you can't fill the panel and afford it. And that just changes everything. It changes the shift from breed type to more, I don't want to say generic, I want to say all around structure and soundness. It changes the number of miles you got to put on your truck. And it changes the point scales and all those systems. It's very difficult to not look at that history and think it was convenience. It was the ease of going to shows and have to set up and drop off every day. And it was the gas lines that combined to create the clusters. I'm not opposed to clusters. I love them. I'm just telling you, it made things very different. When you had two shows a weekend or one show Saturday, one show Sunday, within 400 miles, you could afford a panel of many judges.
Right.
They'd drive there, you had a big enough entry to cover it. So it's different. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but it sure is different. Yeah,
it was a necessity at the time. So
yeah. You know that in 1973, during that oil embargo, Nixon set a mandate. And the mandate was that you couldn't go over 55 miles an hour anywhere in the country. Can you imagine if a president today said you can go 55? And the reason was to save gas. And by the way, it didn't save gas and it didn't reduce traffic deaths at all at the end of the. And finally, it wasn't until 81. Oh, maybe it was earlier than that. It was because I know it was Clinton that removed the mandate. And that was on the books for a very, very long time. The speed limits are 55. Connecticut still has 55. Catch up.
Well, it's proof. Like, this is my father. My father was a mechanic. He said, that's when the vehicle is most economic speed-wise, 55.
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt. It did work, but...
He never used it.
What happened was people drove more. You know, so it... It didn't necessarily, it saved a little. It did save a little gas, but it was. Imagine
if Trudeau said tomorrow, you have to go 55 miles.
There'd be cargo vans or whatever they call. What do they call those things? Caravans. I don't know what the hell they call them. Convoys. There'd be convoys. And they'd be doing 60 just to make their freedoms. But we did 55 miles an hour for a long time.
57 miles an hour just to prove you that I can do it.
My freedom. But 55 miles an hour was a necessity to save oil.
Right.
And we had a very tight embargo. The weird part was how long it lasted. No one wanted to be the one that took the mandate off. It went, Nixon's mandate went way past his presidency, went through many presidencies. And we seemed to survive somehow. It was lifted half the country after a while and then the rest of the country. But some countries, some states still use 55. Yeah. I can't believe, you know, here in Michigan, we build the cars here. We drive as fast as we well want. We have bad roads. We don't care. We run through the ruts. We make them here. Damn it. We can drive them anywhere we want, as far as we want. But then I go to Connecticut. I'm doing 55. We're here. You have to do 75 and a 70 here. No one will pull you over for it. And, you know, if you're 80, you might get pulled over. So then I go back to Connecticut and I'm like 54. I better expect the cruise control. But I'll bet I know I get better gas mileage. And if you're in an RV, if you're in a diesel pusher, like, you know, we're in 40-foot diesel pushers, or all the ones we've had, even the smaller ones, the difference between doing 65 miles an hour and 75 is like 3 miles to the gallon. It's a giant difference. Oh, yeah. And if you want to set it at 60, you're going to get 12 miles to the gallon instead of 6. So there you have it. I'm sure those all things you took notes about and wrote down. So I really appreciate it. By the way, if you want to talk about gas prices adjusted for inflation, I have that data too. In 1929, it was only 21 cents a gallon. Adjusted deflation, $2.38. I have nothing to do in my life except figure these things out when I can't sleep at midnight. Oh, William. But obviously, when 3,000 dogs can get to Louisville from all over the world, all over the country.
All over the continent.
Sure. Yeah. Then we're going to be fine. So it's not going to last forever. And the dog show people will do what they do because they
saw some Canadians I hadn't seen in years at Louisville.
Man, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Well, it's a great sport if you keep it that way and look positive and see what comes down. I hope this new rule gives a couple of judges out there that haven't judged that may be eligible for a whole group. I have a list in my mind. It's a short one, but boy, I think it's going to be great for them and the sport needs them.
They certainly do, man.
Yeah.
We just need that knowledge and we need dog people. We really need dog people.
So. And I won't say their names on the air, but I just held up a chart for Will that has all their names on it. None of you can see it. That's why we probably shouldn't do YouTube, Will. You know, a lot of people with podcasts do YouTube. You know that, right?
Yeah. So, well, I think, you know, my only problem is that since we do ours in the morning, that
in our pajamas,
in my house coat. And
I usually have a hat to cover up the rat's nest on my head in the morning. Today, I don't. So it wouldn't look pretty. Oh, goodness gracious. Anyway, I think we've probably got up to our limit here, Will.
Well, yeah, there's one more thing I want to say. I want to, up here in Canada, we lost a very important person in our dog show family. Jennifer Carr Watson, she finally succumbed to a 2-year battle of cancer. And Jennifer, I have known Jennifer the day she was born. Her dad worked for my dad. I knew her the day she was born. And she was just all through her childhood. We were closer when she was younger. When she got a little older, we didn't see each other. We saw each other, but we weren't as close. But there was always that almost like a family tie. You know, if we needed each other, I would ask her a question. She would ask me a question. It was always that we knew that it was that little special bond.
Yeah.
And as a young child, she was like, you'd travel anywhere with her. It was like you were being interviewed. And she'd be like a 7-year-old interviewing you about that's just how she wanted knowledge. And she became a very good handler, poodle handler. Her daughter, Jade is, I think, 15. Jade is so much like her mom at that age. Just very mature for her age and very smart and very engaging. And I feel my heart goes out to both Jade and her husband, Dale. And I just want to know that we're all thinking about them this time. And she's going to be terribly missed. So,
thank you, Will. You know, another reason to stay positive when you go to this sport every weekend or every weekday. because life's too short. You don't want to spend it being miserable. You want to stay positive. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's terrible here, but we're time marches on. Anything else, young William?
No. I think we're in the middle of a freezing rain warning up here in Canada right now, up here on Toronto anyway.
Yeah.
When I can hear it hitting my windows, I know there's something going on.
We have thunderstorms forecast for today here in
Michigan. I was outside yesterday cleaning out both vehicles with a t-shirt on, and now it's this.
Yep. 2 days ago, we had 72 sunshine, and everybody was out in their shorts and t-shirts. But in Michigan, when it hits 50, they come out.
Oh, yeah. It's time. It's time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway. All right, Will, it's been a fine ride. Hope you all enjoyed it. And again, please let us know what you're thinking. You can just text us and say, we probably should not wear just pajamas on our podcast. Or anything you want to say, especially to Will, you email it to thedogshowdrive@gmail.com. That's thedogshowdrive@gmail.com. Or in the announcer's voice, it's thedogshowdrive@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there, guys, and stay positive.
Party on, Bert.
I'm born no way.
Down rocky cliffs, give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's get right. Me back from where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Yellow hills. Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
To see the world and take the thanks, Ernie. Don't hold back.